Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel. Nice to have you with us today. Normally, we would open with the latest on health and healing, ways that we can understand how we age. Do we age at the right pace, too fast, or can we slow it down? Then we go to environmental information, then our guest, and important social issues. But today, we're doing something different. We're going to have the program devoted to how we can really understand how a plant-based diet can both prevent and frequently reverse not only premature aging, but also disease processes. To begin our discussion, going out to Tacoma Park, Maryland, we have Dr. Michael Greger on the phone. Michael is a board-certified physician practicing in general medicine, but he specializes in clinical nutrition. He is a New York Times bestselling author, and he is an internationally recognized expert on critical public health issues. He's also a founding member and a fellow of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine and has been an instructor at T. Colin Campbell's esteemed nutritional education program at Cornell University. He is also the founder of NutritionalFacts.org, which is an informational website providing the latest scientific research and assessment of foods for their medicinal qualities. And he has published in peer-reviewed journals, including the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, Critical Views in Microbiology and Nutrition and Public Health, and others. He's published several books. His latest is How Not to Die, which investigates the top 15 causes of death and natural healthy ways to prevent them. He's a graduate of Cornell University School of Agriculture and received his medical degree from Tufts University School of Medicine, and his websites are nutritionfacts.org and drgreger.org. Nice to have you with us today.
Happy to be here.
What I'd like to do is first let's go through one by one in some detail those 15 causes of death and how many of those causes could we, if we followed reasonable and responsible and disciplined guidelines, could we prevent or mitigate? And then following that, also, if you know this and you're board certified, why don't the other 900,000 physicians in America offer the same quality information and evidence to their patients? The form is yours.
Well, so the leading cause of death in the United States is heart disease, a disease that can be both prevented, arrested, and reversed with a plant-based diet, something we've known since summer of 1990 with the publication of Dr. Dean Ornish's landmark lifestyle heart trial in the most prestigious medical journal in the world. And, you know, I assumed that was going to be the game changer. I mean, practitioners like Pritikin have been reversing heart disease for decades, but here it was in black and white, published not only in The Lancet, but many other the most prestigious journals on the planet, yet nothing seemed to happen. It appeared to be largely ignored by mainstream medicine. So here we were, had the cure to our number one killer, yet hundreds of thousands of people continue to die every year from this preventable, arrestable, and reversible disease. And so I figured, hey, if the cure to our number one killer could get lost down some rabbit hole, what else might be out there buried in the medical literature that could help my patients? Well, I made it my life's mission to find out. That's what led me to start NutritionFacts.org. And that's what led me to write my latest book, How Not to Die, which I just go through the top 15 causes of death, talk about the role diet may play in preventing, arresting, and reversing them. The second leading class of killer diseases, lung disease, COPD, like emphysema. Thankfully, a plant-based diet can be used to help prevent COPD, even be used to treat COPD. You used to think COPD was like diabetes, just got worse, 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 then you died. But, you know, if you randomize people to give them a few extra servings of produce, fruits and vegetables, you actually improve lung function, something we never thought possible before. We don't know if it's the antioxidant the activities, the anti-inflammatory activities, but that was certainly something that I never learned in medical school. Killer number three is a class of brain diseases, which includes a stroke and Alzheimer's. And I talk about the various things one can do to prevent all cardiovascular diseases, including stroke, and talk about some of the exciting new research in slowing the progression of Alzheimer's, though we still don't have anything that can reverse the disease. That's why prevention is critically important. And we have research going back decades. For example, the original Seventh-day Adventist study showed that those who eat meat, red meat, white meat, didn't matter, between 2 to 3 times increased risk of getting demented later in life. And I talk about the latest dietary recommendations for the prevention of dementia, which basically includes cutting down on meat, dairy, and junk, and increasing one's intake of fruits, vegetables, legumes, which are beans, peas, chickpeas, lentils, whole grains, nuts and seeds, herbs and spices, mushrooms, basically real food that grows out of the ground. These are our healthiest choices. And then digestive cancers, infectious diabetes. Diabetes is another disease, can be not only prevented and arrested, but reversed. We're talking about type 2 diabetes, sixth leading killer in the United States. And then high blood pressure is next, another disease. So we're talking about leading killers that can be reversed, cured, sometimes within weeks. With just healthy lifestyle changes, which include a plant-based diet. And then I go through liver diseases, blood cancers like leukemia, lymphomas, kidney disease, a disease again we can use a plant-based diet to treat for, and then breast cancer, suicidal depression. It's actually a remarkable amount that our diet can do in terms of improving our mental health, not just our physical health. And I talk about prostate cancer. I mean, after Ornish conquered our number one killer, moved on to killer number two, cancer, and showed the same plant-based diet and lifestyle program could reverse the progression of early-stage prostate cancer. I just had a few new videos on my site talking about using the same diet to alter the course of advanced-stage metastatic cancer as well. That's some of the most exciting stuff I've had on nutritionfacts.org in a few weeks. Then Parkinson's disease, a 14th leading cause of death. And then 15th, I talk about iatrogenic causes, doctor-induced cause of death, such as, you know, medication errors, side effects, adverse drug reactions from prescription medications kill off about 104,000 people a year. The answer is to not avoid doctors, but it's to avoid getting sick in the first place, so you don't need them. I think the question you raised, well, wait a second, if a healthy diet and lifestyle can prevent, arrest, or even reverse some of our leading causes of death and disability, why haven't doctors heard about it? Well, I mean, I think it's mostly it's ignorance. I mean, doctors have a severe nutrition deficiency in education. Most doctors just never taught about the impact health and nutrition can have on the course of illness, so they graduate without this powerful tool in their, you know, kind of medical toolbox. There's also institutional barriers. So there's time constraints, lack of reimbursement. In general, you know, doctors simply aren't paid for, you know, counseling people how to take better care of themselves. Of course, the drug companies play a role as well in influencing medical education and practice. You know, you can ask your doctor when the last time they were taken out to dinner by Big Broccoli. It's probably been a while. You know, I kind of think of it as smoking in the 50s, right? We already had decades of science linking smoking and lung cancer, but it was ignored because smoking was normal. Most doctors smoke. The average per capita cigarette consumption, 4,000 cigarettes a year, meaning the average American smoked half pack a day. You know, the American Medical Association was reassuring everyone that smoking in moderation was A-OK. So there was this disconnect between the science and public policy. It took more than 25 years and 7,000 studies before the first Surgeon General report against smoking came out in the 60s. So until the system changes, we have to take personal responsibility for our own health, for our family's health. We can't wait until society catches up to the science again, because it's a matter of life and death.
I appreciate that overview. Thank you. Now let's go back and put in the details, because everything in life is in the details. You can have a young 17-year-old who doesn't want to see animals killed, and for the respect of that sentient being, goes to a vegan diet. But that could mean they could eat vegan pizzas and all day long. So there's a qualify the diet with as many specifics as possible, and also why certain food groups are better, what's in those groups. Is it the phytonutrients or chlorophyll or fibers? Or when people say, well, how am I going to get my protein if I go on a vegan diet? I just become weakened because of the propaganda about the meat. So now if you could take this very nice, large overview and now start to fill in all the details.
Yeah, so I don't advocate for a vegetarian or vegan diet. I advocate for an evidence-based diet. And the best available balance of evidence suggests the more plant, whole plant foods we eat, the better, both to reap their nutritional benefits and to displace kind of less healthy options. So I think the best available balance of evidence suggests a healthiest diet, one that minimizes the intake of meat, eggs, dairy, and processed junk, maximizes the intake fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, you know, nuts and seeds, basically real food. Real whole plant food. So it's less kind of vegetarian than vegetabilitarian, meaning, you know, we actually have to eat our veggies. That's why I don't like labels like vegetarian. Vegan just tells me as a physician what you don't eat. There's lots of unhealthy vegetarian foods, french fries, potato chips, soda pop, right? That's why I prefer the term whole food plant-based nutrition. Right? That tells me what you do eat, which is a diet centered around some of the healthiest foods out there. In terms of protein, recommended daily allowance about 50 grams a day. I mean, one good PB&J could take you half the way there. And most Americans, including vegetarians and vegans, getting about 70% more protein than they need every day. The reason plant sources are preferable is because of the baggage that comes along with the animal protein. I mean, food is a package deal. You know, as much as Burger King says you can have it your way, it can't be like, yeah, I'll add like a burger, hold the saturated fat, hold the cholesterol, hold the hormones, hold the antibiotics, right? Whereas, you know, what's the baggage that accompanies plant protein, right? Many of the nutrients that Americans are lacking. You know, striking 97% of Americans don't even reach the recommended minimum intake for fiber. 98% of Americans suffer from potassium-deficient diets. Right? Most of our dietary deficiencies are due to an inadequate intake of whole plant foods. So that's really the question. Where do you get your fiber? Where do you get your potassium? You're not going to get these critical nutrients unless you are eating a healthful diet.
Let's go into the kind of foods that you believe a person should be emphasizing and the ones that you believe are most problematic.
Yeah, so, you know, on nutritionfacts.org, I've gotten more than 1,000 videos, which is great since I'm able to cover so many topics, but it's a little overwhelming. I do record these kind of annual year-in-review videos going through the science in kind of 12-month chunks, but I really wanted to compile the most compelling evidence in one place. So to that end, you know, those chapters on the 15 leading causes of death, that's the first half of the book. It's kind of a reference book, 3,000, you know, citations, but you know, I wanted to go beyond that. I wanted it to be a practical guide for translating this mountain of data into day-to-day kind of grocery store decisions. And that's what became the second half of the book, How Not to Die. I center my recommendations around a daily dozen checklist of all the things I try to fit into my daily routine. So beans every day, berries every day, the healthiest types of fruits, greens every day, the healthiest types of vegetables, tablespoon of ground flax seeds every day, a quarter teaspoon of turmeric, the best beverages, how much exercise to get. I go through all that. And in fact, there's a free app for both iPhone and Android called Dr. Greger's Daily Dozen. And so you can download it for free, use it for free. Everything on the website's free. All the proceeds I get from selling my books and everything all goes to charity. And so it just, my hope with the Daily Dozen is just to inspire people to pack their diet with some of the healthiest foods out there.
Let's take a look at the diseases that you personally have had the greatest success in curing and reversing. If you could give us some examples that would, I think, highlight the significance of what you're sharing.
Well, the original one I came across was my own grandmother. I mean, I was just a kid when the doctor sent my grandma home in a wheelchair to die. She was diagnosed with end-stage heart disease. She had so many bypass operations. Basically, the surgeons kind of ran out of plumbing, got so scarred up inside. Confined to a wheelchair, crushing chest pain. Her doctor said there's nothing else they could do. I mean, her life was over at age 65. But they shared about this guy, Nathan Pritikin, right? Early lifestyle medicine pioneer, she became one of his early success stories. She's actually even featured in Pritikin's biography. It talks about Frances Greger. My grandmother was a kind of live-in program where everyone's placed on a plant-based diet and started on a graded exercise regimen. They wheeled her in, and she walked out within a few weeks. She was walking 10 miles a day, went on to live another 31 years till age 96. To continue to enjoy her 6 grandkids, including me. So her, miraculous recovery not only inspired one of those grandkids to pursue a career in medicine, but granted her enough healthy years to see him graduate from medical school. So it's really all thanks to her. So that's what inspired me to practice the kind of medicine I practice today, lifestyle medicine. But, when I got to medical school, I was shocked that this whole body of evidence on reversing chronic disease with lifestyle, opening up arteries without drugs, without surgery, was largely being ignored. And so that's why most of my focus these days is not on clinical medicine, but on educating the public.
When you look at how long a person ideally could live, if they exercised, ate a good quality plant-based diet, dealt with stress in more appropriate ways than what we normally do, and had quality relationship, how long would you guesstimate someone should reasonably expect to live in good health?
I think it's critical to understand that there's no such thing as dying of old age. So, for example, when I talk about in the introduction of the book, this large autopsy series looked at thousands of autopsies. So they looked at centenarians, that these people lived over 100, for which their doctor said there's nothing wrong with them. They had no, they just died. I mean, there was nothing on the death certificate that would suggest that they died as disease-related causes. These people had supposedly just died of old age. But when you actually did the autopsies, in every single case, 100% of the cases, they found the cause of death. Number one cause was heart disease. And so they didn't even know they had heart disease until all of a sudden, they had a heart attack. And died. Then the cancers are actually a very similar kind of list in terms of what younger people are dying from. And so the good news is that we have tremendous power over our health, destiny, and longevity. The vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a plant-based diet and other healthy lifestyle behaviors. And, it may be, at the rate at which biotechnology is progressing, I don't know if you're familiar with Kurzweil's work, but it's possible, given the advances, that radical life extension may just be a few decades away. So it may be a matter of kind of living long enough to live as long as you want. But either way, eating healthy is really our best bet for living a long, healthy life.
Good. I appreciate these insights, and I'm hopeful that people will begin their journey to a healthier choice. Thank you for all the good work you've done out there. Also, thank you for, providing this free access, nutritionalfacts.org, to the public. You, Sarah G., with GreenMed Info and some other sources out there, we no longer have to be told, as we have been, there's no science supporting the connection between a healthy diet and disease. And by the way, I've been around long enough to have engaged in those arguments earlier in my career. It's amazing, sat across from a rheumatologist who was one of the top officials in the American Rheumatology Association, and be told that there is not a single shred of evidence that arthritis can be either be caused or in any way treated with any beverage or food or nutrient. So we've come a long way.
Obviously, was unfamiliar with the peer-reviewed medical literature, which goes back decades, showing that, for example, rheumatoid arthritis can be reversed with a plant-based diet, and sometimes in some cases fasting as well. I remember my first medical school interview at Cornell. I was interviewed by a pediatrician who claimed that there was no relationship between diet and health, period. And that was kind of my introduction to medicine. So that was thankfully it didn't go downhill from there. It went up.
Good. Thank you very much, Dr. Michael Greger, for being with us today.
So happy to. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I'm Gary Noll. We have a lot more to go. Please stay with us. And welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Noll, and we're broadcasting all over the world today. In this segment, we're going to be going to Little Rock, Arkansas. We're standing by is Dr. Christy Beck, B-E-C-K. She's a medical doctor, OBGYN expert. She's board certified in obstetrics and gynecological sciences, and she is practicing as a senior partner at the Little Rock Obstetricians and Gynecologists in Little Rock, Arkansas. She's also a fellow of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and she's a teacher of the Food for Life philosophy founded by Dr. Neil Barnard with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And also, she's a prenatal yoga instructor. Her practice emphasizes a holistic approach of integrative health through nutrition and natural childbirth and a vegetarian and vegan diet during pregnancy. She graduated magna cum laude from the University of Alabama and completed her medical doctorate, earning two outstanding awards for graduating as number one in her class from the University of Arkansas Medical Science School. She later became chief resident of gynecological oncology at the university's medical facility. And she is also a contributing writer to vegsource.com. And her website is lrobgyn.com. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you.
We are faced with an epidemic of obesity, high blood pressure, metabolic syndrome conditions, heart disease, diabetes, pain. And also, we're seeing people at younger ages beginning to have memory loss, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease that we had never seen historically, and also digestive disturbances, fatigue, and localized pain. So when you look at 10 of the most important medical reasons people go to see a physician, add in depression and anxiety, I'm sure that you have experienced many of those with your patients. Would you then take us on a journey showing what you believe are some of the principal causes that could be prevented, and then for those that you work with, show us and explain to us in detail the protocols and program that you offer them and the success, if they follow your advice, that they can reasonably expect. The form is yours.
Yes, sir. So the majority of my practice as an obstetrician and gynecologist is wellness medicine. Most of my patients are coming in for their annual physical exams and their cancer screening. Specifically, what they have in mind is going to be a pap smear and a breast exam. We're usually discussing contraception or planning for pregnancy. And then as they transition into menopause, all the symptoms and life changes that come with that. So most people don't walk through my door expecting to get nutrition advice, which I think is kind of the benefit I have as a non-family practice or internal medicine specialist, that I get to kind of catch them off guard in a sense. But because I do have a very long-term relationship with my patients and I follow them year after year, I think I've got a rapport that is unique. And they oftentimes tell me about just about every condition you just listed. So diabetes, heart disease, memory loss, chronic pain, a multitude of things, even though they don't specifically pertain to gynecology. So I oftentimes just listen, you know, do a very, very thorough review of systems. And after we've covered the bases of, you know, the usual gynecology physical and assessment and plan, with the extra time, we usually dive into the other things that concern them. My most dangerous line is, what else can I help you with today? And I would say the top thing I talk about with my patients, so they're concerned about, is obesity. And then the diabetes and high blood pressure and joint pain are all usually secondary, at least in their mind, to that primary problem of their weight is elevated from what it was last year. And this is when I try to identify what they think is different in their life. You know, why do they think this changed since last year? And it's usually that they're busier, they're more stressed, they have less time to meal plan or exercise. And oftentimes they'll tell me exactly why things have changed. And it almost always comes back to diet and lifestyle. I don't have a very specific recipe that I give everyone. It's very individualized based on what their, you know, limitations have been and what their barriers have been to making change in the past. But it usually ends up with a simple combination of attempting to consume a more low-fat and high-fiber diet. I have been on a plant-based diet myself for going on 9 years, and I've learned that if I begin the conversation with the idea of lower fat consumption and increasing fiber, that I oftentimes don't even have to use the word vegan or vegetarian before I've piqued their interest. So that's usually where the conversation begins, is just very simple dietary changes. My business partners who are not vegan or vegetarian oftentimes laugh because patients come back in the hallway, and before they've even gone in the room to get the assessment from the nurse, they're hugging my neck. And they'll say at the top of their lungs, I've been vegan and I've lost 20 pounds and my migraines are gone and my joints are better. And it almost, it feels like an infomercial, I think, to everyone else around, that these people come back just totally overflowing with positive results and they can't wait to tell me about it. And it's just, I nod my head and go, well, that's what I said. I wasn't lying. I told you it would probably get better. But it's very, very encouraging when people have taken the recommendations seriously and come back with just life-changing results.
Could you give us some specific examples of women with conditions that before seeing you were not improved, but after seeing you, following your advice, were able to make major improvements or complete reversal of their condition?
Oh, absolutely. One of my perimenopausal patients had to travel a lot for work, and so was very frustrated that her meal planning was not always, you know, predictable, and she had borderline diabetes, pre-diabetes, and her blood pressure was creeping up and her weight was creeping up. And she was experiencing some vasomotor symptoms. And so we discussed something as simple as, because she traveled in her car, getting a blender and taking her blender with her. And everywhere she would go had a grocery store, and basically being responsible for making herself her own smoothies and not relying on having to eat hotel food or eating out. And she had switched to a high plant-based diet, not entirely vegan, and came back, and her hemoglobin A1C had improved, and her blood pressure was better, and her weight was down a little, but she was just feeling better. She said her energy was through the roof, and she couldn't believe how much simpler her life was because she had simply changed what she was eating for dinner. And I've seen her again through the years, and she continues to trend in that direction where, you know, she's not perfect and she still has some comorbidities, but she's been very, very impressed by how easy it was to make that small intervention.
And some other conditions, heart disease, high blood pressure, depression, anxiety.
Absolutely. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some of the most exciting ones, but actually, this is a colleague of mine who was in one of my cooking classes, and I think when physicians make major changes, it's almost more exciting, but he had heard about how I discussed this with my patients, and he decided to come to one of my cooking classes. This gentleman had type 2 diabetes, and then later was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, so had kind of a unique situation that he was now a type 1 diabetic with an insulin pump, but a history of insulin resistance. He started eating a entirely vegan diet and came to me one day on labor and delivery with his lab results, with his cholesterol, lipid levels, and showed me that they were normal now. And he also shared with me that his insulin pump, you know, which checks his blood glucose periodically throughout the day, was now using a fraction of the insulin that it was using before, and his average glucose level was normal range. And the only thing he had changed was what he was eating. And, you know, I think when you see numbers like that that you just can't refute, that's very encouraging. And then when he started doing more research on his own and learning about how a low-fat, high-fiber diet was going to decrease his risk of other cancers and hopefully his risk of recurrence, he was even more motivated to continue to eat that way.
Do you have what ultimately happened to his cancer?
Pardon?
What was the outcome long
term? Oh, he is still surviving and still working full time. Yeah, it's very,
that's
very
terrific.
Unique.
Why is it that if you and another group, maybe of 2,000 physicians out of over 920,000 physicians, are looking at the evidence-based medicine of behavioral changes, lifestyle, diet, exercise, stress management, getting phenomenal results, all supported by the mainstream literature, and yet that's not motivating the physicians to change, and hence their patients are not changing?
You know, you make an excellent point, and I've pondered this question a lot over the 9 years that I've been on this journey myself, and, you know, I was a rhetoric major before I went to medical school, and one day I came across the definition of allopathic medicine, which, if you have an MD after your name, you went to an allopathic medical school, and by definition, that means that I was trained in the treatment of symptoms. I didn't go to school for necessarily prevention of disease or promotion of wellness or necessarily even cure of disease. So I kind of felt disenfranchised. I may have gone indeed to the wrong school. But I think the common denominator of any sort of MD or arguably DO as well is that we don't have the education as part of our curriculum. I believe I had about 4 hours of nutrition education, and it was a take-home DVD that, and I'm not kidding here, was sponsored by, I believe it was the beef industry or the dairy industry. And that was it. And it's so paradoxical that patients come to us expecting us to be experts when really we know really only 4 hours more than they do. And it may have even been biased information. So I think until, you know, nutrition and, you know, specifically a focus on like a nutritarian type diet and the evidence is presented as part of the mainstream curriculum, I don't think doctors are going to be aware of how phenomenal this tool is unless for some reason they've had to embark on this journey personally. So that's, I believe, the change that's going to have to happen is at the educational level.
Well, I appreciate the fact you made your own transformation, and as a result, you've motivated others. And we have an awful lot of women who are pregnant in this country who are not given the kind of quality information, even not even encouraged to breastfeed. I remember once I interviewed the head of the Pediatrician Society of Washington State or Oregon, Dr. Janice Keller Phelps, And she said that every monthly meeting they had a free dinner and bar that was paid for by the formula company. And her office had cases of free formula that were delivered there. And she thought it was completely normal just to advocate for formula, not even thinking about breastfeeding. And it was only after she realized that breastfeeding was better, and this was 20 years into her practice, that she then started to see much better results in those women who were healthy themselves, then breastfed, and had healthier babies. You would think that common sense and reason would say, why not start off with what nature provides, breast milk?
But exactly, and I think we're coming full circle on that. I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
No, I'm just saying that the final statement is, then it's easy to understand why they have been propagandized and influenced from the beginning of their career. So now
yes.
I understand why.
Yes, it's very concerning, some of the global views that have become just mainstream, such as that formula was an acceptable, an equal and acceptable, maybe even superior alternative, or even the ideas of like delayed cord clamping, where we're finally seeing that there was just no good reason to do immediate cord clamping. And now the hospitals are getting on board. And I think that if I begin my first prenatal visit telling moms that I'm here to give you every bit of support and education that you need to do this successfully and to trust your intuition that this is natural. It is in your DNA to know how to breastfeed. It's in your baby's DNA to know how to latch. And let's assume that's going to be the plan unless we have an unexpected complication. But even babies that go to the NICU, we encourage those moms and help them with pumping and breastfeeding. So I think that I set the expectation of this is going to be what you do unless something else comes up. And then now that the hospitals are also not sending people home with, gallons of formula, and they're making it that breastfeeding and being, as an attachment parent just from the very first hour of life is the expectation and the norm, I think it's going to shift the whole paradigm. And the first two handouts I give people when they come for a prenatal visit is about nutrition and breastfeeding, and the third one's about exercise. So I think when patients feel empowered and educated about what is safe and what is healthy and what the risk reduction that comes with those healthy practices is, they're a lot more motivated to do it. When women become pregnant, that's usually the first time in their life when they're more motivated than ever, other than maybe to fit into their wedding gown, to be healthy. Because it isn't about them anymore. It's about their baby. And I don't mince words about the increased risk of excessive weight gain or obesity in pregnancy, especially here in the South. It is, very, very common for women to enter pregnancy with a class 1 to class 2, if not class 3, morbid obesity. And the data that we are seeing now is just overwhelming and undeniable that this is the single most important modifiable preconception risk that women need to address is getting their BMI below 26.
That's good. I'd like to see it below 20.
I would too, but I'll take a 24.4 any day over a 44.4, and we see it. And some women almost get a little teary-eyed that no one else has told them about this. No one else has been so direct, and you have to be ginger about it because most people know that they're not at their ideal body weight, but they never really understood that there is no such thing as a healthy obese person. They just don't have those chronic problems yet.
But we both know.
Yeah, we know that.
all the statistics show that the South, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Georgia, have the most overweight people and the sickest people with the shortest lifespans in the United States.
When I sometimes share my story with my patients. I had my first two children during medical school, and with my first pregnancy, I gained almost 45 pounds, and the recommended is 25 to 35 because I did start the pregnancy at my ideal body weight. And by the end of the pregnancy, I actually ended up with gestational hypertension. I had high blood pressure in pregnancy. And that was really my only risk factor. Well, with my third pregnancy, actually the motivation for me to transition to a plant-based diet was in anticipation of a subsequent pregnancy. And during that pregnancy, I had, you know, perfect 25-pound weight gain. I felt better than I had, even though I was 7 years older, and had a wonderful delivery right on my due date, normal blood pressure. And so I say in my randomized controlled trial of myself, I can personally attest to how much different even a 20-pound weight gain can make the experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have the experience to share with people now, and you're helping save lives. Do you realize that over 20% of all births in the United States end in miscarriage or stillbirth?
Yes, and especially with the, you know, second and third trimester fetal demise increased risk that comes with obesity, that's something people need to know about ahead of time. Some people may be able to shrug off that they're more likely to get diabetes or more likely to get a C-section, but when I say your baby may die because of your morbid obesity, that tends to get people's attention fairly quickly.
I would hope so. Well, good for you. Thank you for being with us today, Christy. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. It's been a joy to talk to you as well. Continue your excellent work.
All right. That is Dr. Christy Beck, B-E-C-K. And as you can see, she's on the right side of helping women and educating them and informing them. And, of course, that all extends down to the child. It comes in this world with only the tools that the mother and the caregivers have provided it with. We want to get them alive and healthy. I'm Gary Noll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Everyone, hope you're having a nice day. This is the day when a lot of people celebrate life and relax, go out and enjoy the afternoon, evening with their friends and family. We're here to empower people, and hope you've been enjoying this empowerment. Let me also explain that coming up this coming Wednesday, just in 2 days or 3 days, at 7 p.m., we're going to have a dance party for you. I've done over 50 dance parties in the last 40 years for my audience. It's a time for people to come together and just celebrate life. If you're single, if you're a couple, if you're young or old, it doesn't matter. Everyone deserves an opportunity to go out and just enjoy themselves and even meet some new friends. We are limited in the space for this nightclub. It's a restaurant nightclub with a nice big dance floor. So once we reach our total, then we can't allow people to come in. And all of our venues are always packed. So if you want to come and dance, disco dance, this coming Wednesday evening, 7 to 10 o'clock, call this number, 646-926-5422. Again, 646-926-5422. And we've selected our own DJ. I've selected all the music. I'm trying to get a wide variety of music for all kinds of people's energy. And it'll be a lot of fun. We haven't done one of these in 3 years. Now, also, last week, I had mentioned that we were having trouble, meaning our sister station, WBAI, where I've been going on 41 years, the station was having trouble meeting its financial obligations to its audience to purchase the premiums. And I can only refer to my own program. I don't know what is owed by the other producers. And we were about $11,500 short, meaning we had about $11,500 worth of premiums that had been placed in Spring Drive but not sent. So I did the premiere which raised enough to pay for all that, plus left money I left over, but unfortunately, that was spent on other issues. However, I went back in, we did another pitch for the upcoming October retreat. The first week is packed. And we were able to get three people to come, and that paid for several hundred premiums. So now we're down to where we owe, I think, I'm guesstimating somewhere around 300 premiums. So we're going to just take a moment with the hope that if you come, a substantial amount of premiums can be paid for, maybe all of them. And that will help get everybody their premium, and because the station doesn't have any more money. And so here's what you're going to get. Normally, once a year, I would take a week and go to a wonderful, exotic place, invite a relatively small number of people, so everybody gets some personal attention, maybe 30, 35 people. But they're in an environment where it is magnificent in its beauty, it's aesthetic, it's bucolic, there's no noise, there's no pollution, you're up in the mountains, near Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas, and Louisiana. There are lakes. And then we go down old country roads. You'd think you're in the Italian countryside or the French countryside. That has that feel to it. Everything's really quiet. The smells from the beautiful flowers, the wildflowers, the philodendron, the honeysuckle. And all day long, you're taking juices and smoothies. And these are really power-packed. They're not the kind you'd make for yourself. And then you have gourmet meals served French style with cooking classes. In fact, we're bringing a special master chef in just to teach people how to do healthy dishes, a whole meal, appetizer, soup, salad, entree, side dish, sauce, and dessert. You're going to see from the raw ingredients how to make a whole meal, but then the plating, so it looks like it came out of a gourmet 4-star restaurant. And then we have classes on sprouting, microgreen planting, growing mushrooms, hydroponics, fermented foods. We have art as healing workshops. We have discussions on losing weight, reversing the aging process, meditation, yoga, salt water, bathing, and aerobics. So it's just a place to decompress, to de-stress, to relax, detoxify, cleanse, rejuvenate. It's wonderful. And I'm there every day, all day, as is Lou M. Panessi. She's counseling people. So you can do as little or as much as you want. So give a call. I'm going to give you a number to call because we want you to speak with Lou M. to make sure that it's right for you. About half the people or less, we find out it's really not what they need or what they expect, and therefore Luann recommends other places that would probably serve your interests better. But for people who can really align to cleansing, detoxifying, de-stressing, laughing, we do a lot of laughter, then you'll want to call her. Her number is 903-881-7008. Let me repeat that. 903-881-7008. And now I want you to hear a couple people from our last retreat on final day after lunch. I go to the telephone, I call PRN Studio New York, Jesse gets on, and I say, Jesse, I have a few people who would like to just comment about what they experienced. And they just come over and take the phone and say, hi, my name is such and such, I just spent a week with Gary at this retreat, and here's what I experienced. They're not coached, not rehearsed, no scripted, it's just their experience. And these are the type of experiences that you will not hear anyone who went to a resort or went on a cruise or went to the Grand Canyon or went to Saint-Tropez. those are just pleasant experiences. These are life-changing experiences. So listen now to what they have to say.
There's a woman that's here with end-stage multiple sclerosis. Was basically written off by the medical community, my colleagues, and she comes from a family that's many of her family members are physicians in traditional medicine, and was given no options other than make the best out of the rest of her life. And since I've been here, when she first got here, she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. She couldn't move her legs. And each day she started progressing. And by the end of the retreat, not only was she not in a wheelchair, she was walking with a walker. And then at the very end of the retreat, she was able to walk without a walker. And it's nothing short of a miracle. And I would love if the rest of the medical community could at least witness some of this and start to use it in their practice. And I'm so happy to see these patients getting better.
All right, my name is Pedro. I'm from Staten Island, New York. I've been wanting to come to the retreats for some years now. It culminated at the right year, right time. I got a lot of stuff going on in my personal life. I lost some people. I'm going through a bad breakup. And this experience has been so unique. I've never been one to run. I've never been one to get up at 5 in the morning. Not only am I getting up at 5 in the morning and running, I was actually falling behind all week. And this morning, I actually was the leader of the pack. And in fact, I was probably about 2 blocks in front of everybody else. Didn't break a sweat. So that really impressed me. Also, Gary did some energy work on me. It makes sense now, but all these emotions came rushing out. A lot of mixed emotions, but after the fact, I just felt cleansed. It was a cleaning of the mind, body, and soul. I must have lost about maybe 8 pounds by now. Between the yoga, the pool, exercising, it just brings you back to life. You're brand new again. You're reborn. And if I had to do it again, it's not even a matter of having to. I would love to do this again. I actually recommend this to everyone.
How was the food?
Oh, the food. I'm lost for words. The food is absolutely amazing. I don't think I've ever gone 2 days without meat. It's been 7 days. And I don't miss it. There's nothing about chicken, beef, ribs. I just don't miss it. So I basically wiped the slate clean in my life. This is a brand new beginning. And I thank everybody for co-creating this experience with me. Thank you.
Hello, Gary. My name is Matt. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate what you've created here at Villa Azure. And I look forward to the growth and development of this facility. And if I can, I will be back. I will be back. And I wanted to tell you about my type 1 diabetes in that I had an experience throughout the week where my blood sugars have been perfectly normal with minimal amounts of insulin. My reduction in the amount of insulin I take is now at 75% or less. So I'm only taking 25% of what I was taking prior to my arrival here. In one case, you did some energy work for us, or on me in particular. And that I came into the energy work with a 274 and no insulin in my body. And it was an experiment. And then the consequence of being out 3 hours later, and then having dessert, I tested my blood sugar and it was 84. So I'm a type 1 diabetic. So pretty phenomenal stuff, as has been everything here. I appreciate the environs that you've created. And I can't tell you how grateful that I am for this week. It's given me amazing reminders of who I am and who I can be. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Susan, and I am just so pleased with myself that I made this decision to invest my time and energy and money into coming to the Gary Null Retreat. It's very easy for me to take care of others and meet the needs of others. So this was a very big change for me and a very life-affirming and life-changing changing experience for me. One of the highlights is just the opportunity, the constant opportunity to commune with nature. You are surrounded here by the most lush and lovely setting. There are animals everywhere, and there's a lot of chances to just be in nature, which I found was probably one of the most healing aspects of this retreat. And I am very happy to say that I have decided to stay a second week to really pound into my body, my mind, and my spirit a right way of living and a way of expressing myself in my future and leading an authentic life. Thank you, Gary Null.
Well, we're out of time, everyone. I enjoyed sharing our show with you today on Labor Day. Have a wonderful rest of the day. I look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time. Or you can download our show. A lot of people don't have time to listen, so let me give you the archive number. 701-719-9976. Again, listen at any time, anywhere, by your cell phone, hardline phone, your computer phone. Call 701-719-9976. Have a nice day.